This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. When the Library of Congress was established in the year 1800, it was mainly for legislative use, a repository of books that might help lawmakers forge their new nation. 200 years later, it's most familiar to public radio listeners as the place where we store all of those StoryCorps interviews.
It will be archived at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress.
Now, obviously, storing the world's knowledge involves a lot more than just the printed word these days, and that's why, since the 1990s, the Library of Congress has made various attempts to go digital. And yet, it has been tech companies that have emerged as the archivists of the internet age, which begs the question, when so much information is stored in servers, does the Library of Congress still have a purpose? Kyle Chayka has written for The Verge, The New York Times Magazine, Billboard, and more. His recent article, The Library of Last Resort, appeared in N+1. And Kyle, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Before we talk about the Library of Congress and its attempts to digitize over the years, let's first establish just the scope of their operations. I guess I never really knew too much about what the Library of Congress actually does and what it looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So I think what most people think of when they hear the Library of Congress, they think of, you know, the huge building in D.C. that's very grand, and that's called the Thomas Jefferson Building. But really what the Library of Congress is this huge network of storage facilities and other office buildings and, you know, data backup facilities that most people never get to see. And so when the Library of Congress collect something, and they have over 160 million objects in their collection, it doesn't just get put into a library somewhere. It could get digitized. It could get stored in a storage facility in Maryland. It just kind of goes through this huge process.
How do they decide what deserves to get saved, either digitally or otherwise? You talk about 160 million objects. It's just hard to imagine what collection looks like at this point. It sounds like they just save everything.
They kind of do save everything. The library's mission, I mean, even since it was founded, was kind of to provide anything that the government might need to refer to in the creation of laws. So if you think about that as a standard, almost all kinds of information fall under that rubric. And this guy, Spofford, who was one of the later librarians of Congress, he kind of decided that the U.S. government could use any and all information under the sun, really, to help its legislature. So from then on, the Library of Congress kind of started collecting just about anything. And Spofford was the Librarian of Congress from 1864 to 1897.
So in that case, what efforts has the Library of Congress made at digitization thus far, these past, say, 20, 25 years? And what exactly does that mean? I'm thinking scanning books, articles, putting it online?
Yeah, so digitization really means taking a physical object and scanning it or taking super high resolution photos of it and then uploading that onto the internet. And so the Library of Congress has digitized quite a bit, and it started digitizing in 1990. But when you think about 160 million objects, you're never really going to get to scan all of them.
Yeah, especially I can't imagine what the rate of scanning versus the fact that if they're still collecting new objects, you know, it's almost an impossible task.
Yeah, they collect 10,000 new things every single day. So it's pretty much impossible to digitize everything. But they do have a committee that decides priorities for which things to digitize first. And that tends to be very visual collections that are in the public interest, like early American photos from the Great Depression or artifacts from the Civil Rights Movement. And objects like that get scanned and put up online. But you still have this vast collection that really is inaccessible to the public right now.
Well, and you point out that there really has been a failure, maybe in terms of cooperation, maybe in terms of budget to make strong efforts to digitize the collection. What would you say are the biggest impediments organizationally facing this effort?
I think organizationally, one of the problems is that the Library of Congress over the past 20 years or so hasn't cooperated with any outside institutions as far as digitization. So there were some early inroads that with Google, actually, that the Library of Congress was going to work with Google to digitize their collection. But that effort fell through, and the Library of Congress didn't want to cooperate with some other smaller initiatives that have started up, like the National Digital Public Library. And so the Librarian of Congress over the past few decades just kind of ignored these different collaborations that were possible and tried to bring all the digitization in-house and just focus on the institution itself. And I think that's a real problem in the internet age when we're all kind of collaborating on stuff.
Yeah, this is James Billington, who is head librarian from 1987 until 2015. You point out that there was this one effort, maybe a public perception coup, where they talked about preserving tweets. But even that, you write, really didn't hit the mark.
Yeah, so they announced that they were going to be archiving all of Twitter. And that was a big deal because it seemed very technologically advanced and it was super relevant. But as we've seen over the past few years since they made that announcement, there really hasn't been anything else. So they haven't created a searchable archive. They haven't made any kind of public interface for the Twitter archive. So I know staff there are pretty frustrated with that, and I think the American public is as well.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Twitter, the site itself and social media platform, really does a lot of those things on its own, which raises the question of whether or not the Library of Congress's efforts had any real purpose. It makes me wonder, who is doing digital archiving right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few different approaches that exist right now. And one is a very corporate approach, like Google. So Google launched its program, Google Books, and that has scanned millions upon millions of books. But some critics argue that because Google is a corporation, it doesn't always have the public interest in mind. But then there's another organization called the Internet Archive, and that has really been at the forefront of a kind of decentralized digitization effort. So not only do they scan books, they work with smaller libraries to scan collections, but they also back up the internet itself and really create a public record of digital material.
I'm speaking with writer Kyle Chayka. He wrote about how the Library of Congress has really struggled to evolve in the digital age over the past 25 years or so. I was really shocked by some of the quotes in your story where you spoke with a lot of employees at the Library of Congress, and they seemed so lost in this almost existential way. And I wonder, having now reported this, what do you think needs to happen moving forward to give the people at the Library of Congress a sense of purpose for what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think one big step that did happen is that James Billington stepped down in 2015. And I know he was kind of the face of this problem that the library was having. And Obama nominated this woman named Carla Hayden, who worked in the Baltimore Public Library System, as the new Librarian of Congress. And she actually was confirmed fairly easily, despite all the government gridlock going on. And I think she's already really energized people and provided the library with a public face that's more technologically savvy and progressive.
It's funny, as I was reading this, you know, you can see the prerogative, the need to move towards a digital age. This is a library. Of course, libraries all around the country are trying to rethink their purpose within communities. At the same time, there's this part of me that has this really romantic notion about a physical library just full of millions and millions of books. And there is this thought that in some sort of terrible post-apocalyptic scenario where the internet is taken offline somehow, that, you know, the Library of Congress still ends up having this really, you know, strong reason for being.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to argue that the Library of Congress doesn't have a purpose. I just think its purpose is kind of misunderstood. So its ultimate purpose is definitely to create this very permanent archive of material that matters to the United States. And like you said, if the internet were to go down, or if Google were to have a problem or disappear over the next century, the Library of Congress is still going to be there. And there are still going to be these warehouses full of books and important manuscripts, you know, underground in Washington, D.C. And I think we're going to be pretty thankful for that if anything so disastrous ever happens.
Well, Kyle Chaika, thank you so much for teaching me, anyway, a little bit about the Library of Congress.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Kyle Chaika wrote about the Library of Congress for N+1 magazine, and you'll find a link at wordofmouthradio.org.